Today is February 21st, 2024. We have two cases on our oral calendar this morning. And the first for counsel for which you're present is consolidated appeals in A23-1482 in the matter of the welfare of the child of DMP and JTP parents and A23-1486, same title. Counsel, each of you has 15 minutes for your principal argument. At the start of your argument, could you please state your name and the party you represent for the record? And by appellant and respondent is fine. And then counsel for appellant, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use that. So this is being recorded and the audio version of it will be on our website later today or tomorrow. We don't maintain the video version, or we don't post that. So, counsel for appellant, we are ready for you if you are ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'm Elizabeth Walker, attorney for DMP. Mr. Dowd is here for appellant JP, and we have divided our time equally for our arguments.
That's right. Thank you.
So my client, DMP, is a client where her child was removed from her custody after 1 month in her care. And that removal was based on the presumption that she had previous terminations of other children within her care. And based upon that presumption, there was a first case plan and then a move on the county's part, Becker County Human Services, which I will now hereinforth refer to as the county, to remove that child from the care of my client when the child was only 30 days old. And that was solely based on the presumption that my client was an unfit parent to move forward. And then there was an ensuing then CHIPS matter, which went quickly to a termination matter, which then that termination matter was appealed and it was brought before the appellate court based upon the fact that the underlying court, the district court, had not used the right analysis for determining whether or not my client had overcome that particular presumption. And so then—
So on remand, just so I know that you have limited time, splitting it, on remand, the district court considered two statutory bases, right, for termination and found one of them. Is that correct?
That is correct.
The failure to correct condition. So what is— can you speak to what is your argument about why there is a lack of a statutory basis in light of the district court's conclusion and finding that one exists, specifically the failure to correct conditions?
Thank you, Your Honor. To cut to the chase, basically the fact is that the only basis for the removal of the child was based on the presumption that my client was found unfit. And the underlying court in this particular case found that could not find unfitness in either parent or my client in my argument. And so then if you could not find an unfitness and the only reason for removal was based on the presumption, so then what then do we hold the standard to? Did the Becker County Human Services even have the right to remove the child at that point in time if they could not find unfitness?
So your argument is that in looking at the conditions at the time, which is what's relevant to determining whether they were corrected or not, that the only condition you're saying is the existence of a previous termination and a presumption from that. And you can't then look at the conditions that under— is that your argument? You cannot look at the conditions that underlay that previous termination that gave rise to the presumption?
I'm not necessarily saying that, Your Honor. I am saying, however, that the fact that the only condition for removal was this presumption. But then
the presumption was based on a removal that was based on, I mean, a termination that was based on certain conditions. You know what I'm saying? The existence of not taking care of domestic or having domestic violence in the home, et cetera, or whatever it might be in any given case.
Right. Whatever it is in any given case. However, in this particular case, the county did not bring forward any evidence that the child was any of ever under any threat of harm, that the child was never on under any threat of drug or alcohol abuse by either parent, or did not have a home to live in. That was never a case in this particular finding. It was simply that conditions existed and therefore a child was removed. But the child was removed only because of presumption. But the district court never found the parents to be unfit, only that they did not meet certain standards under their case plans. And then I argue that, okay, let's look at those case plans. These clients have been fighting for their child for a couple of years now. They have done what has been asked of them multiple times over, but yet again, after the remand, they were asked again to do the exact same things they had already done, simply because of the remand and reopening of the CHIPS case. And it was reopened under the same exact case file. And I'm sorry, if I'm looking to the right, that's because I have a computer screen to my right. I'm not disrespecting anybody.
Fine.
And in fact, even the Becker County Human Services and the Guardian Ad Litem provided testimony that the parents were actually very good with the infant, or very good with the child when they have their visitations. And unfortunately, that wasn't sufficient because there was a fear that future things could happen. My client had already gone through two rounds of domestic violence training or domestic violence education. They were asking her to do it for a third time. And it's a little bit excessive. If you look at the testimony, they were asking our clients to sign documents they had already signed numerous times over. And then they just kept heaping on burdens to the clients to keep achieving, which they had already done. But apparently the county didn't find them sufficient. I mean, what they had left was aggressive behavior towards the county, which in some respects you might say is fair, given all the times they had to go in front of the county. But also the fact that there was no harm ever attributed to this particular child, ever. They could find nothing that involved this particular child or in front of this child. And I submit to Mr. Dodd.
Thank you, counsel. And Mr. Dodd, you will have, here we go, 7.5 minutes.
Thanks, Your Honor. May it please the court, Timothy Dodd on behalf of appellant JTP. I'd start with the proposition, Your Honors, that the whole idea of child protection cases is we want to make sure that children are being raised by parents that are fit. And in Minnesota, we have presumptive unfitness that's caused by prior child protection history that the court in this case ruled was rebutted. So there is no presumption of unfitness, which then I think legally gives a rise to a presumption of fitness. I think both of these parents are entitled to that presumption. And so we have two presumptively fit parents, in addition to that, who've been raising two twins in their care for, at the time of trial, it was 17 months. It's been longer than that now. And these two other kids are full brothers to the child in this case. And so I think this case is unique, at least in my experience. I'm unaware of any case that I've read in Minnesota that would have a fact pattern like this, where we have parents where the court has found that they're not unfit. The presumptions doesn't apply, and at the same time they're raising, they have children in their custody that they're raising at the time that the case is being presented. And especially if you look at it, I think, from the perspective of the child of this proceeding, I guess what we're saying is, even though your parents haven't been proven to be unfit, because of the way they approach the case plan, their rights need to be terminated. And that will effectively deprive the child of both of the brothers. Although I suppose it's possible some kind of arrangements could be made. But I wonder why we would even focus on case plan requirements for people who are not legally unfit. We have, according to the record, we have parents.
Counsel, can I ask though? I mean, there might be, leave aside the presumption in that there have been previous terminations. In any given termination case, there might be multiple statutory grounds raised, parental unfitness, failure to correct conditions, what have you. And a district court might find one and not the other. In other words, might find failure to correct conditions, but not unfitness. I mean, and it seems like your argument would lead to the conclusion that termination cannot be cannot happen in that case as long as that one statutory basis is not found.
I would not make that argument across the board, Your Honor. I'd make the argument that this case is unique. We're not going to have a lot of cases where with this fact pattern. And I think the real question probably would boil down to perhaps what the legislature would have intended here. Does it make sense? It doesn't to me. It doesn't make sense to me that the legislature would think that they would still want courts to go through the process of terminating parental rights on another ground where parents have not been determined to be unfit. It's, as I said, I think that's the whole purpose of, or the primary purpose, at least, of child protection laws is to make sure that children, to the degree possible, the degree that we can, are in the care of people who are fit to be parents. And because of the fact situation that we have here, we have two parents that can't be proven unfit, which means that legally they're presumed to be fit. So I submit that under these circumstances, which I think are extraordinary, the court should look to the, I think there's also law that says we also need to look, the paramount consideration is the best interest of the child. And I ask the question, how is it in the child's best interest to terminate parental rights for parents who are not unfit? And that really is the essence of my argument. I don't know that I have a lot more to add. If there's questions, I'd be happy to address them. But otherwise, I would either, if my colleague has some additional remarks she'd like to make, I would defer to her. Otherwise, I would reserve the rest of my time for any rebuttal that we might want to make.
Okay, so counsel, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. I don't know if you intend to split that as well. I guess we didn't talk about that.
I would defer to my colleague. I'd let her go first, and if there's additional time and I have something to say,
okay,
I'll say it. But
okay, we'll just put 5 minutes on the clock for rebuttal when you come back then. Okay.
Very well. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, thank you both. Counsel for respondent.
May it please the court, I'm Jessica Johnsrud, and I'm the counsel for the respondent. As Mr. Dodd was discussing, the district court determined that the parents did overcome their determination of palpable unfitness from their previous TPR orders. As this court is aware, it's a relatively low bar to overcome that. And the fact that they did have, primarily the mother, in her care at that time, two twins that the county wasn't aware of and the trial court wasn't aware of until trial, in their care, essentially met that low bar. However, as the court indicated, the district court didn't terminate based on a determination of palpable unfitness. It was failure to correct the conditions that led to out-of-home placement. And the reason the child was removed at so quickly after birth is because the previous termination case involving the mother was actually ongoing at the time she became pregnant, and the child was born shortly after the district court had terminated her parental rights, and the child was removed not only because of that presumption of palpable unfitness, but because the mother's partner choice, the father in this case, was of significant concern to the county and the previous
term. Ms. Johnsrud, yes. So in looking at the procedural history of the case, it was my understanding that after this was remanded the first time, the county dismissed the original case and brought a new CHIPS petition. And then at some point that CHIPS petition, you moved to terminate. Is that a correct statement?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Now, when you filed the CHIPS petition in this appeal, what were the basis for the allegations? I mean, did you also, yes. So I'll stop there and then I have another question.
Yes, the fact that at that time they had both had previous terminations for palpable unfitness, and the fact that they had not corrected the condition that led to the child being out of the home, which was the concern for domestic violence or the mother's ability to keep the children safe.
And then when you filed for the TPR, part of that was based on the fact that the child had been out of home for more than 180 days. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, Ron.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, at the child ultimately was out of the home with the remand for 2 years, 817 days.
And so just to make sure that I understand this, are there separate factual allegations that go to conditions at the time of removal apart from the previous, the presumption from the previous TPR? I mean, what I hear from the parents' counsel, I mean, they were just, there's no facts about with this child at the time because the child was necessarily removed so quickly, right?
Yes, Your Honor. A significant part of the reason why the child ended up having to be removed so quickly is because the parents were not willing to work any sort of voluntary services or allow Becker County to investigate. And because the child was born so quickly after the termination of the mother's other children, there was a significant concern for the child's safety. And during that termination of that mother's parental rights, who did have a different father, the mother had begun a relationship with the father of this child, and it's actually included in the Court of Appeals argument or order that in the termination of those other children, that there were concerns that she had not learned anything from any of that domestic violence training that she had, or education that she had done in that course or that case, because she, during the termination, began a relationship with a man who had significant assault or domestic violence related criminal history. She moved in with him very quickly after beginning dating him. She wouldn't disclose that she was involved with him to the county. So the fact that there was those immediate concerns so quickly after the other termination is what led to the child's removal right away. is that there was concern that the mother wouldn't be able to keep the child safe because she had not corrected anything that led to the termination of her other children. And I believe Mr. Dodd spoke to the fact that there wasn't any violence associated with this child. However, the father during this case, and since the child was removed, did receive multiple convictions that were assaultive or domestic in nature. So while they weren't against the child, there was still violence being perpetrated by one of the parents, and the mother had indicated no concern about the father's behavior and violence, and which was the ongoing concern with this file after the last termination file, is that despite all the education and classes that she did have in prior terminations, that she was still unable to recognize those safety concerns and was not able to keep her children safe.
Johnsrud, one of the arguments that Ms. Walker makes is that because in this case, the court eventually found that the palpable unfitness condition was not proven, that therefore that kind of relates back to the original CHIPS petition, and I imagine the subsequent TPR, and that therefore they should never have been removed, so therefore they didn't need to do a case plan because the entire basis for removing them was unfounded. I'm not sure I agree with that, but what is your position about that argument?
Yes, Your Honor, I would say that this situation, when the district court made this order 2 years after the removal, was significantly different than at the time of the removal, and that the palpable unfitness, if it would have been determined immediately after the removal, I think would have been different now than it is now 2 years later. And again, as I stated, overcoming that is, you know, a low bar for a parent to overcome that presumption. And the fact that they had another or two other children in their care, I think the district court found correctly that they are no longer palpably unfit. However, as this court noted, and that's not what statute the district court terminated under. And as it relates to Mr. Dodd's statement regarding the best interest of the child, I don't think that the parents made reunification with the child a priority. They had 2 years to work this case plan. Even though both parents said that they've done all of this before, doing it before resulted in the termination of those children. And I know that it was mentioned about having to sign and re-sign documents, but as indicated in the district court order, those releases of information expire after a year. So at the point where this child had been out of the home for a year or two, any of those previous releases would have expired. And the parents didn't make substantial efforts to even try to reunify with the child. And the termination was in the child's best interest to promote his stability and safety. Unless there's any additional questions, I would cede the rest of my time, Your Honor.
Okay, I don't see any. Thank you very much, counsel. And then Ms. Walker, we'll hear from you on rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just to go back to Judge Connolly's question, where the case was remanded back to the district court and a new CHIPS case was filed, it was not. The judge reopened the CHIPS case, and there was no new filing of a petition. And so the filing of the petition was based exclusive on the fact that the children were removed or the child was removed based upon previous terminations, just to make sure that the record is clear there.
But right. Also, I mean, I agree with you, but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Generally, if TPR is not filed, or excuse me, if the TPR, well, we reversed and remanded it. So at that point, statutorily, if the grounds for the TPR does not file, doesn't it automatically revert back to a CHIPS case? Is that a fair statement?
That would be fair because the judge was allowed to go forward with making more findings towards a TPR or to vacate or dismiss the TPR. And then, but his decision was to vacate the TPR and then reopen the CHIPS case. But there was no new petition that was filed. So, I'm sorry if I'm cutting too fine a hair there, but that is to me a very
important. No, I agree. You are correct. I don't think you're making anything too fine at all. I guess one question I have is, you know, the argument you just made in your original time, I have to admit, i.e. that, you know, it's sort of a relating back, you know, you can't relate. If palpable unfitness was not found, therefore the whole thing falls apart. I really, and perhaps I'm just missing it, I didn't really sort of get that from your brief. So where would I look for this argument that, you know, because it wasn't found, therefore the original removal was improper, and therefore we don't care about the case plan because they were never palpably unfit, so therefore the removal was improper.
Well, Your Honor, I think that those specific words were not found within my brief, but they were found in Mr. Dodd's brief. But at the same time, I did quote law that stated, you know, there was no unfitness found for these parents. So then how in the world can they be found not to be proper parents? And also, I did bring in the history of these cases and reviewing the history of the cases of removal and what remedies they needed to find. One of my arguments was they had done these, what was requested of the parents multiple times over. And then it was reverse remanded, and then a new case plan was put in place. And they were asked to do the exact same things that they had already done. We're not talking a new case, but things that they had already done. But, oh, no, we're wiping the slate clean, so then you need to do them again. And so, of course, animosity will only grow. And with that, I cede the remainder of my time to Mr. Dodd.
This may just be a restatement of what I've already argued. If so, bear with me. But I have a conceptual problem with the idea of requiring parents to correct conditions under circumstances where they're not legally unfit. Maybe I'm just dense or obtuse, but it simply does not make sense to me that we would be doing that. So beyond that, I have nothing further.
Very good. Okay. Thank you all, counsel, for your briefing, for your arguments in this case. Case is submitted. We will have a decision out under the expedited statutory timeframe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Your Honor. Yep.